Rob, I want to go out to our guest line and welcome in Chase Michelson. A terrific job here as a researcher and intern when he was a Michigan State student. He was also sports editor of the State News when he was also a contributor to Detroit Free Press. Now out in Las Vegas, learning the business and doing a great job for the Westgate Superbook. Chase, the line on the NBA Finals here. Can you bet on how many games it's going to go?
We have like an exact series result. So okay. You can bet Heat in 4, Heat in 5, 6, 7, or Nuggets in 4, 5, 6, 7. That's what
okay,
we're
I'm right guessing now. That the highest odds there would be Heat in 4, right?
Correct, 40 to 1.
And the lowest odds would be?
Denver in 5, 2 to 1.
Denver in 5, 2 to 1. And how do you feel about this? You watch the NBA pretty closely.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting series because, you know, Denver's a pretty commanding favorite, which I think is, you know, commensurate with how well they played in the playoffs and how well they played all year, whereas obviously Miami was not in that realm during the year, not even close. But they've really played well. Obviously, in the playoffs, you know, their shooting in particular is above, you know, where it was in the regular season to a degree that you kind of wonder if that's something that can continue just from a math perspective. Rob, close your ears.
Yeah.
They shot 50% from three times all season in 82 games, and they did it three times against Celtics.
Would you guess that that is that trend, if we want to call it that, might continue, given the fact that the Heat can play pretty good defense? We saw what they did to the Celtics in a few games. And do you think that maybe was a lack of defense in some of the Western Conference playoff games that allowed the Nuggets to have so many open shots and inflated that percentage?
Perhaps, but, you know, I think that Denver has a pretty generationally great offensive player, and, Bam Adebayo, it's small sample size, but has struggled to say the least, guarding Jokic in their regular season meetings. And if the Heat try that zone, a zone sounds like a good idea, but I can't think of a better player in the history of the NBA to put in the middle of a zone and try to create from the free throw line than Nikola Jokic. I mean, he would be the first pick. So that's a little scary. I don't know how effective the zone really will be.
When we talk about Nikola Jokic and the triple doubles now, which just seem to be so routine, when he doesn't get one, you kind of say, whoa, well, what happened? But there's a chance that he will finish the 2023 NBA playoffs with more triple-doubles 1 year than all but two players have had in their lives. Magic has 30, and LeBron has 28. And, you know, you've got Jokic in position now with 8, and he could get 6 more. It's possible. It would be pretty incredible for a 1 year performance, and maybe it's going to take all of that and more to really make people appreciate how good he is.
Well, it's, I think people don't appreciate how good he is because a couple reasons. You know, it's start times for regular season games, and then early round playoff games, so most people don't get to watch Jokic on a nightly basis. Obviously, market size is a factor. The Lakers play West Coast games, and yet everybody seems to know what's going on there.
Golden State, I mean, people know LeBron and AD and Steph and Clay. They get it. And of course, they've been in championships, which is when a lot of people start to pay attention. But I think a lot more people know Dame Lillard, and you know, of course, he had so many sensational performances, and even Luka Doncic. I don't know whether Dallas is on that much more than Denver. Maybe they are. But I just think maybe it's you look at him, and he doesn't pass the eye test. He just looks like this big goof, and you figure, you know, how good can he be? And it's kind of an acquired taste. You have to watch him to really appreciate all the things he does.
That, and he shuns media attention.
That's another good point.
You know,
he's not here in the off season. He goes back to Serbia.
Yeah. So, you know, he's not really interested. I mean, you saw the quotes this week where he basically said something to the effect of, he's like, look, I mean, basketball's not the most important thing in my life. You know, the mythology around great players, yeah. You know, I'm thinking of Jordan in particular, but a lot of great players was this, you know, burning obsession with winning that, like, you know, took over their lives. You know, in basketball in particular, but you hear these stories about Brady and Montana and you know, champions in anything. And you hear that, you know, their level of dedication was so great that they couldn't think of anything else. And when they lost, they would, you know, it would physically ache and all these things. And it just doesn't seem like that's the case for Jokic. And it's funny because in real life, like regular people, if you said, you know, when I have a show where it doesn't go the way I want to and the guests, we don't really click, I'm just awful at home to my wife and I all these things, you know, we'd be like, yeah, that sounds like you have a problem, man. Like, it sounds like you need to, like, deal with that. Like, that's not good or healthy. But when it's an athlete in pursuit of something, for some reason, we, like, think that this is, like, a positive attribute. Which it's not. So, you know, I think it sounds like Jokic has a pretty healthy perspective on things, which is, like, funny that that's looked at as a negative.
Chase, what do you think it would take in this series for Nikola Jokic to land a big national campaign and be the face of a product? I don't mean something in Denver.
Yeah, I imagine he endorses some things in Denver. Nationally, I don't know. I mean, that's a good. You got to ask the marketing people that question. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
To me, like, I don't know. There's a lot of people that are in commercials that I don't think of as, like, okay. I don't think of Paul George as this, like, incredibly charismatic person.
No.
And he's on, like, Gatorade commercials and the whole thing. So, like, I don't think, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really think it has anything to do with what's on the court, because he's already doing that at an incredibly high level. So, yes, yeah. If he wins a championship, of course that raises his profile, and I'm sure he goes on Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, but I don't know. That's a question for the marketing people. I knew a lot
of
them.
You know the story
about Michigan State. I can ask them.
You know the story about him being selected during the Taco Bell commercial.
Of course.
So why not Taco Bell? Why not having him driving up to the window and first ordering in Serbian and then apologize? There's a million different spinoffs. But if I'm Taco Bell right now with this thing.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, I'm in meetings saying, what can we do with this guy?
Yeah, make sure that they're running more ads during the second round, like in perpetuity, in case.
Yes.
Just have the entire... Have a special Taco Bell stream of the second round of the NBA draft, just so that anytime the next great second round pick comes along, he's drafted with a Taco Bell logo on the screen. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
that's funny.
I would just think that's, you know, something. I am most interested in this series from the Denver perspective for a number.
Why
of
is that, Jack? Do you want to share with the audience why that is?
You know, you have some real involvement with the series and financial investment with that. But I would say that I want Denver to get its due. And it's not a 70-win team, okay? It's not a generationally great performance this year, but, you know, pretty good. They were a one seed. And if you asked a lot of people going into playoffs who the one seed in the West was, they wouldn't have told you. So I think that it's going to take something for them to get their due. And one of the reasons I was so mad at Boston the other night, Chase, is I thought that if Boston got in and Denver won, then that would show some people, would shut up some people. Now I think the argument is going to be, even though Miami beat Boston three times back at TD Garden, it's still going to be, yeah, but who did they beat? They beat the Lakers, who, you know, were lucky to get in. They beat two play-in teams in their last two rounds. And I don't know if that's fair.
I don't think it's fair, but you got to get out of the sports radio bubble. If they win, they win. They're the champion. Period.
Yeah.
So if people don't want to hear that, that's their call. But yeah, of course it's a little bit what we were saying before. The mythology always extends around big market teams. Like I don't know, do people think of the Edmonton Oilers dynasty in the same breath that they do like the Red Wings? Like, I don't think so. Which is crazy because it sounds like they were better for a longer period of time.
Yeah, they were.
That's the nature of it. If the Knicks were to ever win a championship, there would be five documentaries about it within 3 years.
Yeah. Which is why I'm very glad that the Knicks don't ever win.
That's not nice.
A long time.
But you are, as a champion of the little guy, I can understand why you would like a team like Denver. But I don't think, like, who cares? Like, if they win, like, just because people don't talk about San Antonio doesn't mean they didn't win five championships. Five, right? Five.
But San Antonio is not usually talked about in the same breath as certainly the Lakers and the Celtics, for good reason, but the Bulls. And there are a lot of people who, you know, they start talking about the dynasties, and they say, well, you know, and Detroit had it going for a while, and then they kind of get to San Antonio.
And that bothers you?
It does, and it shouldn't. I mean, it's Detroit, so I should embrace that. But, yeah, you know, I'm how I am about the downtrodden or the people who are overlooked, and that's just my own peculiarity. But I'm interested in this in terms of a possible MVP. You can bet that in advance of the series as well, right?
Right.
Would you take Nikola Jokic or the field?
Well, right now we have Jokic at -350.
Ooh. So you would take him.
Well, I think I'd rather just bet Denver -425 than bet Jokic -350 because, like, here's what I would do. I would bet Jamal Murray 12-1.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because if he has three games where he scores 40 or more points and hits, you know, eight threes a game, which is basically what we saw for, you know, portions of the Lakers series, then he can win it. And I'd probably rather roll the dice with that than lay big money with Jokic. But that's just me.
Who was the most valuable player? I know who won the award. But who was the most valuable player of the Eastern Conference Final?
I think I know where you're going with this. But I'll say in the voters' defense that the voting was 5 votes for Jimmy Butler and 4 votes for Caleb Martin,
right.
Which I think at least shows that he was respected and that the vote was very close. And, you know, it wasn't just everybody blindly voted for Butler.
Right.
I'm willing to accept arguments for Butler. I mean, Martin wasn't even starting until the later part of the series.
Right.
And Butler,
I would have voted for Caleb Martin, but I can certainly see why Jimmy Butler won, and he came back in Game 7 and was good. So I get it, and I can certainly live with that. It doesn't. I'm not losing sleep over that. But
I do agree with you. I would have voted for Caleb Martin.
Yeah. So you could bet on that in Vegas too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
imagine if you had Caleb. Yeah.
For last round, we didn't have it, but I mean, the odds would have been like 500 to 1, probably.
Yeah. So imagine if you had Caleb Martin and you're sitting there waiting for the announcement of the Larry Bird Trophy. And Alonzo Mourning is there. He's got it in his hands. And, you know, he very easily could have given it to Caleb Martin. And what would have happened? I don't think we've ever had a co-MVP for something like this. Let's say it had been 4-4-1, been a tie. What would they have done? Let them each have it for 6 months?
Giving them co-MVPs. Well, co-MVP, who would the other vote? Right. The other vote would have gone to Duncan Robinson cupping his ear. Jack, I got to ask you, have you recovered from Monday night? Because you were angry. You were hot. I don't normally get worked up like that.
Yeah, I was. And Rob, you didn't have to endure what Chase did. I bent his ear, or his eyeballs, actually, texting for a couple of hours on this. And I just thought that Boston had one of the worst efforts I had ever seen by a team that was that big a favorite.
Oh, sure.
At home against a team that it should have handled.
Sure.
And
yeah.
It didn't. So I just thought that was a
Rob, worst loss in Celtics history is what Jack was calling it. I think that's crazy.
Can you give me a worst one? But it's
right up there. I mean, for sure. I don't know if it's the worst loss, but
I couldn't remember, Rob, a Celtics loss in a game 7 at home as a decided favorite with a chance to make history.
It's not that they lost, it's how they lost. Yeah. It's
right.
How they lost.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if they'd lost by 2 points, I would. Yeah, and he still had 14 points and 11 rebounds and shot better than some of the other Celtics.
I think the two guys that throughout that series for the Celtics, Robert Williams, was probably, I would say, the MVP for, you know, and then White, the guard.
Derek White.
Yeah, those two players were the most two consistent players for the Celtics that entire series.
Yeah. And I just thought that Joel Mazzulla was unprepared.
Oh, and he got out-coached. I mean, for sure. Yeah. And I just read here that they are bringing back Joe Mazzulla. Boston is bringing him back. So, I mean, he'll learn from this. He's only, what? I mean, I think Chase is older than him right now, right? Chase?
No. That's not true.
Well, 35, 36, whatever he is. So he'll learn. And Brad Stevens is a big component of his. So he'll be back, and we'll see what happens with Jaylen Brown.
You think Jaylen Brown will be back in Boston, Chase?
I do. And I'll say this, and I have advocated publicly and privately for Boston moving on from Joe Mazzulla. They're not going to do it. But I'll say this one thing in his defense, which is the man he was coaching against in this series, Eric Spoelstra, who is now, I would say, widely considered, if not the best coach in the NBA, right at the very top. I do remember a series in which Eric Spoelstra had the greatest basketball player, at least of the last 30 years, and the other team had J.J. Barea, and it didn't go well for Miami, and there were many, many calls for Eric Spoelstra to be replaced.
Yes.
And probably replaced by Pat Riley.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. And Pat Riley said, no, we got our guy. We're sticking with him. And obviously they won the title the following 2 years. And, you know, the rest is history. And they've built, you know, a pretty impressive culture, I would say, in the last 15 years. Stretching back even further.
You could certainly say that. Yeah.
So, you know, I can appreciate that argument. But it was a struggle.
Yeah. And, you know, even Eric Spoelstra. I mean, every coach makes mistakes. But sometimes when they work, bad decisions, you say, well, you know, okay, I guess I was right. It worked. But there were some decisions that were made there, including the end of Game 6. I have always believed that two things that are coaching maxims, okay, is your team can never foul a three-point shooter. And Joe Mazzulla's team did that at the end of Game 6. And you always have to guard the inbounds passer for a couple of reasons. as Rick Pitino can tell you from the Duke-Kentucky game. You cannot give a guy a perfect look, an open lane with no obstruction to hit a guy in a shooting pocket for a last-second game winner. And the most likely guy to burn you if you fall asleep is the guy who throws the ball in bounds on a quick return. Stan Van Gundy even said this. He told everybody what was going to happen 4 seconds before it did. He predicted what was going to happen. And here goes White. He's on that little circle route to the basket. And if he hadn't gotten the ball, if the ball had spun out the other way, Tatum would have tipped it in. So I just thought that was something that Eric Spoelstra got away with. And, you know, hey, he won. So nobody's going to care about that kind of stuff except me.
Yeah, I saw Bill Simmons compared the Derek White play to the Dave Henderson home run in 1986 to send the Red Sox to the World Series. But I thought when he said it, he was referring to the home run Dave Henderson hit in Game 6 of the World Series.
Right.
The lead in the 10th inning, which didn't last.
Talking about the Donnie Moore.
Yeah, there's some great forgotten plays. Like, remember Marcus Page's double clutch three-pointer to tie the national championship game with Villanova with 3 seconds
yes.
left?
Yes.
Well, most people don't. They just remember yes. Chris Jenkins. So that's
right. That's right. And that's one of those deals where if you hit the shot that is forgotten, you feel, you know, hey, wait a minute. What about me? But sometimes it can work in your favor as well. Hey, could you have gotten a bet down a week ago that Monty Williams would be the coach of the Detroit Pistons?
I don't know about a bet, but I would have been. I think Monty Williams is a good coach. I really do. This is quite the financial outlay. I got to be honest, I was surprised at the numbers, but I know inflation, you know, it's a real thing in this country.
Yeah.
So.
How many coaches do you think took note of that? And they said, I mean, I'd like to be Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra win this series, right? Yeah. I win or lose.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
Kind of reset the market for this. And, you know, and suddenly Mel Tucker, he looks like, you know, he'd get a loan from Monty Williams. It was amazing to see that kind of number, especially from a team that's not a contender. And isn't likely to be one for a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess that's the theory behind the length of the contract. It tells him nobody's expecting you to win the title in year one or year two or year three. Let's build this thing, and eventually we can compete at the top level, and your job is safe. So I can understand that.
Do you know why he lost his job at Phoenix? Besides, Matt Ishbia came in and he didn't bond with them or wanted to bring in his own person.
Is this a trick question or is it the back-to-back, like, 40-point
playoff? I'm curious if you know. I'm not sure. I've heard some things, but I'm not sure.
Okay, I have not heard anything beyond the part where what I saw with my eyes the last 3 years, which was non-competitive efforts in elimination games at home. If you think the Celtics were non-competitive, the Celtics looked like the 86 Celtics compared to the Suns this past year and the year before.
Yeah.
The Dallas one was even worse.
Yeah.
So I think that's why.
Yeah.
Unless you know more than me.
No, I think that, you know, there's a good chance that it comes down to that. And it's the last memory that sticks a lot of times. So for coaches who don't get it done in a championship game, that's what we tend to remember.
Well, there's not getting it done, and then there's not competing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Chase, appreciate you joining us as you do each week at this time, and look forward to talking with you more about the NBA Finals. What about the Stanley Cup Finals? So you got the Vegas Knights, Golden Knights, and Florida Panthers. How about those 2-8 seeds from South Florida winning?
Both winning Game 7s in the TD Garden. People forget that.
Wow.
It's a great time for South Florida sports. It's a great time to be in Las Vegas, certainly. This town is You know, this is a Golden Knights town. Yeah. This is not a Raider town, and it probably won't be an A's town either. It may eventually. But the team that people identify with the most that is not close is the Golden Knights. So the city's very excited right now, and I'm looking forward to the finals, which will only last a month and a half.
That's right. They are spaced out.
I think next time I talk to you, Bull Series will have like will be like moving to the other city for game three. Like, it's ridiculous.
Chase, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
All right.